We've been looking at a father's astounding argument, and that argument is for wisdom. And we've defined wisdom how? Keith. Knowing something that's right and doing it, right? Knowing what's right and doing it. Knowing it and living it. That is what wisdom is, all right? He first starts out with several prompts. Then he backs them up with various promises. He says, you need to keep my commands. You need kindness and truth. You need to trust the Lord. You need to fear the Lord. You need to honor the Lord. You need to accept the Lord's discipline. And if you do those different things, these are the promises that correspond with those. Life and peace, favor with God and people, a straight path, healing and refreshment, provision and discipline, reminding us of the assurance of God's love. And we should be able to look at those first 12 verses and say, you're right. Solomon, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, has written words that are true, and that's what I need. I need wisdom, and I need to be able to do these things that are there in my life. But the problem is we still struggle with sin, right? We still wrestle with our unredeemed humanness. So he goes on and he gives another argument for wisdom. And we see Dad's delightful description of wisdom. And I think we started this on Wednesday? No, Sunday past maybe. And then we had a little bit of a break and so you've forgotten everything. But I'm not going to review everything. So you'll just have to call back to your memory everything that we did. All right, Dad's delightful description of wisdom. Now, if I were to convince you, well, let's say this. How many of you are driving these days? Oh, yes. How many of you actually have your own vehicle? Come on, none of you have your own vehicle. Your parents have a vehicle that they let you drive and they call it yours, right? All right. Well, sometimes there's a little convincing that needs to go on in that process. All right. So if you woke up one morning and your dad was like, hey, I got you a car. Most of y'all would be like, yeah, whatever it is, woohoo! But some of you may be like, whoa, kind of car. You would want a description of that vehicle, all right? What would make you excited? What words, what adjectives, which we struggled out with in middle school what an adjective is, but what adjectives would be coming out of his mouth that would get you excited about that car? Keith? Okay, that's not really an adjective, but okay, that's a description. All right. Hope. Oh, that's okay. Air conditioning. Well, we're working on this. Noah. Reliable. Yeah, that just, you're so excited. That's exactly what you were thinking, right? Reliable. Emily.
Shiny.
JD.
New.
That would, you'd be like, I don't care. Whatever else you say, new. Unless the word minivan came after that. New. Minivan to roll around in. And I can make that joke because we have a minivan now. All right. Morgan. Lifted. Ooh. All right. Garrett. Okay. If it was a truck. Josh. Just clean. You don't care what it is as long as it's clean. Davis. Remember that. Remember that. Okay. All right. Maddie. Okay. Wheels. If it has wheels, that's a good thing. You know what? There's certain things that would excite some of you. If you heard red, you'd be like, ooh, red. And some of you are like, I don't like red. I like yellow. And some of you would be excited if it was, I don't know, maybe fast. And then others of you are like, well, why do I want something fast? You can only go so fast in the first place. It's, if you had your ideal vehicle, some of you had mentioned that you'd really like a truck. Some of you would never want a truck. You would want a car. All right, we probably can't all agree on the perfect vehicle. But here, we get several descriptions of wisdom. And it shows wisdom as something unrivaled. It is the perfect description of it, and it makes all of us want to, as it says in chapter 4, to acquire it. We all want wisdom. All right, look at Proverbs 3, verses 13 through 20. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. For her profit is better than the profit of silver, and her gain better than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. Long life is in her right hand, and her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who hold her fast. The Lord by His wisdom founded the earth, by understanding He established the heavens, and by His knowledge the deeps were broken up, and the skies drip with dew. It goes on to say, My son, let them not vanish from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. The first description that we get, wisdom is what? Elizabeth. Okay, yes, it is precious. You are right. We're not quite there on our outline. Brittany. Profitable. Yes. Wisdom is profitable. For her profit is better than the profit of silver, and her gain better than fine gold. All right. We understand profit. We understand profitable. Some of you young ladies babysit for different people. And at the end of that time, they say, we want you to come over for 3 hours and watch our Rugrats. And you go, all right, I'm in. And at the end of that 3 hours, when they come home, you're expecting what? Money. All right. You're not just doing it out of the kindness of your heart. Or if you are, let me know and we will call you up. All right. You want a profit out of that. Or whether you work somewhere, or maybe guys, you mow yards. There's a profit. You're putting in time and energy and effort, and you're trying to get something out of it. With wisdom, her profit is better than the profit of silver, and her gain better than fine gold. If you went to the market and tried to exchange gold for wisdom, they'd say, no. Wisdom is more valuable. Wisdom is more profitable than gold is. It goes on to say, if you look in Proverbs 1, we read this the other day, but just as a reminder, look at verse 10. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, even as whole as those who go down to the pit. We will find all kinds of precious wealth. We will fill our houses with spoil. Throw in your lot with us. We shall all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your feet from their path. What are some lengths people are willing to go to for money? Josh? Yeah. People are willing to take someone else's life. And we're desensitized to that because, you know, we play video games and we watch TV and stuff like that. And that happens a lot. But imagine that just for a profit. People kill other people. What else? What other links do people go to? Elizabeth? Yeah, stealing. Taking stuff that isn't theirs. What else do people do? Yeah, Garrett? Yeah, getting a job, all right? Some even sell everything down the river just to advance themselves in that career, and they ignore their family and they ignore their kids just so they can have more and more money. People are willing to do lots of different things for money. But in reality, wisdom is more profitable than money. And our question, our thought, as we consider that wisdom holds riches in its left hand and honor, is to think of, what are we doing to acquire wisdom? In the book of 1 Kings, we see an example of wisdom being profitable and how it can benefit in us or our life. All right, you probably remember the story of King Solomon, and he asked God for wisdom, and God gave him wisdom, and he was the most wise person in the world, except for, well, obviously Jesus, all right? And as he was ruling, two women came before him, and he used wisdom to make a good decision. These two women were harlots, and they came up, and one had a child, and the other one didn't. And one was saying, hey, during the middle of the night, this woman's baby died. And she stole my baby, and she's claiming that for her own. And of course, the woman with the baby says, that's not true. Her baby died, and now she's trying to steal mine. Right? So what does Solomon say? Get me a sword. Now that solves a lot of problems around the house. Tucker and Tatum are arguing, get me a sword. Now, it's a little bit different with a king here, right? So they brought a sword before the king. And what did he say? You know the story, right? Cut the baby in two. And you're thinking, wow, that's kind of extreme. Well, when he threatened to do that, the one who it was the real mother of the baby, what did she say? Oh, take him. You take him. I don't care. I mean, like, you take him. She would do anything to protect the life of her child. And the other woman goes, yes, yes, cut him in two. And so she was caught. Well, all her Israel heard of the judgment which the king handed down, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice. This is just one small example of how wisdom is profitable. And we already know that if we trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not on our own understandings, that God will make our paths straight. But wisdom even goes beyond that. We can give glory to God for the profit that it brings. Oh, sorry, I doubled that slide. I forgot about that. Do you have tough decisions that you have to make in life? If so, what are those tough decisions? None whatsoever. Garrett? Yeah, where to go to college? You know? And it's not saying that, you know what, I just need to read my Bible, and in the book of Ezekiel, in chapter 43, the Lord will revealeth to me where I shall go to college. But you know what? There are some wise biblical principles. Like, for instance, you know that when you go to college, you also need to go where? To church, right? And you need to go to a church that's healthy, and a church that will grow you, and a church that will allow you to use your spiritual gifts. So, when you're considering colleges, you should also be considering what? The churches that are in those college towns. I've been doing this a long time. You know what most people don't even think of when they pick their college? Church. They don't even think about it. It's like they think, I'll just show up in some way. The most important time of your life where you're away from your parents and you don't even think through that. You know, I was guilty of that too. I thought, you know, when everyone graduated high school, me and my friends would all go to the same place. And, you know, it was like May and all those punks decided to go different places. And I'm like, what do I do now? So I just picked a place. And I looked around all week long trying to find a church. And I couldn't find one. So I left to a place that I knew had a church. Now, that's not, you know, I didn't read it in the Bible of where to go. But I knew that there was a church. And I knew that I needed a church because that was from the Lord. What other tough decisions do you need to make? Yeah, Caitlin? Yeah, what to major in? All right. Now, there's some interesting things that go along with that. All right. If you're going to major in something that is going to consume all of your time and get you into a career field that consumes all of your time so that you don't have time for your family and that you don't have time for church, well, then that's probably not a wise decision there. But, in those things, there's a lot of freedom that comes along with what you pick. But in that, we still need to make sure that we're doing, you know, if you're going to major in the, I don't even know what all the names are, some like film crazy study, then in that you have to watch just gross and immoral films all the time. I mean, is that really going to help you walk in the Lord? You're going to have to filter through all of that junk and yuck and mess. Well, what other decisions do you all have to make? Mitch? Yeah, who to work for? And you should want to work somewhere that's going to pay you money. But you want to be put in an ethical situation. If you're going to have to work somewhere that's going to rip you away from your family and not allow you to go to church and spend the proper time you need there, and they're also going to pressure you into doing things, into making decisions, and tell people lies. Oh, look, no, you said that wrong. You're supposed to phrase it. You know, that's really not what you should be involved in. What about other decisions, tough decisions that you guys make? Josh? How to act, how to behave. You know what? We come across that every single day, and it sounds something simple, but you know what? There are decisions that you make all day long. Mom says this. How do I respond to it? This is a tough decision. It's really an easy decision that we know of, but it's tough to do, right? Someone does this to me, and I want to do that. But the Bible says that. There are all sorts of tough decisions that you will come across. And it's not always chapter and verse or God striking you with a lightning bolt, but biblical principles can guide you and can help you in your decision making. Well, we also learn, see, I spotted you the next one, that wisdom is precious. It says she is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. What are some things that are precious to you? That's right, the one ring, all right? What else is precious to you, Elizabeth? Yeah, money. JD?
Time.
Tony Romo, I see it. Yeah, time. Time is a precious thing. My time, my way. Josh? Yeah, your family's precious to you. Caitlin? Your friends? Yeah, they're precious to you. Garrett? Yeah, God is precious to you. There are lots of things that we enjoy, and they can be good things. I mean, it's all right if you like to watch some TV, as long as you're watching the good shows there. All right, it's all right to like video games. All right, but when you start to prioritize things above God, then that's where the problem is. It's okay to love your family. It's okay for your family to be precious to you. But if you elevate your family above God, then that is an idol. Something is more precious to you than God is. Wisdom is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. You have to look at knowing the right thing and doing the right thing as the most precious thing in your life. How do you make sure that you enjoy those things that you mentioned? Those things that you just mentioned that are precious to you. How do you make sure you get to enjoy them? Let's start with friends. I would think that most of you value friends. Maybe. How do you make sure that you get to enjoy them? Savannah? By planning your time, right? If you have this and this and this and this you need to do before you get to hang out with your friend, you know what you do? You do those things. You set that time aside. If your parents say, hey, I need you to finish this chore before you hang out with your friend, you know what you're probably going to do? The effort it takes to finish that chore is nothing compared to the friend's time, so you're going to do that. How else? How else are you going to make sure you spend time with your friends besides just managing your time? Keith? Okay, maybe a day or a month? You do have friends, right? You do spend time with them. Noah? Yeah, committing to Christian relationships, that's a good thing. You're going to put it pretty high up there on your priority list of things to do, right? All these things that I can do, my friends are pretty high. Let's say, for instance, that some of you like to dabble in video games. And it's okay, I play some video games from time to time. How are you going to make sure that you get to play those video games? Yeah, McRae? Finish all your chores. But if you like being lazy more than playing a video game, would you finish all the chores? No, there's a choice before you. But the video game is more precious to you than the effort it takes for that. So therefore, you do it, right? What else? Anyone else have to do anything to be able to play video games? Elizabeth? Yeah, you have to get your homework done. Some of you, your parents don't buy you nothing, all right? So you have to go out and get a job, or you have to mow, or, you know, shave Aunt Ruth's beard or something like that. Whatever kids do these days to get money so that you can then buy. It's a VeggieTale thing, okay? So that you can buy said video game. There's all sorts of things that you will do to make sure you get to enjoy those things that are precious to you. Now, when it comes to God's Word and God's wisdom, how much are we sacrificing to make sure that we enjoy them? If I ask you, even this past week, how often did you get to read the Bible? How often did you take to read God's Word and to digest what the wisdom He has for you? If His Word is precious to you, you planned your day, you prioritized, you finished things, you set aside time in order to partake of this wisdom. If it is not precious to you, you did the opposite. You did whatever you wanted, whenever you wanted, how you wanted, and at the end of the day you go, oh, I can't believe I didn't have time to read today. Moving on, wisdom says long life is in her right hand, and her left hand are riches and honor. How would you describe this? Keep in mind that needs to be a P word. Lydia looks smart tonight. She has glasses on. Do you have a Do you normally wear glasses? Are those even prescription? Okay, all right. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Focus especially on that first part. That's right. Actually, this is the second part. Wisdom is philanthropic. Okay? Nice work, Jill. All right? Philanthropic. It means it's very giving. Very giving. Proverbs 1, verse 20. Wisdom shouts in the street. She lifts her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the gates in the city, she utters sayings. How long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded, and scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge? Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour my spirit out on you. I will make my words known to you, because I called you and you refused. I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention. You get wisdom just crying out in the streets, freely offering. In verse 16, long life is in right hand, honor and riches are in the other. Why does it describe them as being in the hands of wisdom? Why does it not say that long life is in wisdom's pocket and riches and honors is in the other pocket, Mitch? They're being offered. It's just right here. All right? Just right here. I want you to go flip over to Matthew 11. In Matthew 11, verse 20, Jesus begins denouncing the cities in which most of His miracles were done because they did not repent. And He goes through, and we won't read all of it, but there's a list of cities where Jesus had come, He had offered salvation to them, He had put on display His miracles, and the people there probably flocked to Him. They probably enjoyed seeing what He had to do, but they never took His offer up. They never trusted Him. You skip down to verse 24. Nevertheless, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father of Lord in heaven, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight. Jesus is saying, Lord, those who consider themselves wise, those who consider themselves healthy, those who consider themselves righteous, you continue to hide this wisdom from them. But to the one who is poor of spirit, the one who mourns after their sin, to those you reveal this wisdom to. Verse 27, all things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal Him. And I love this offer, very similar to Proverbs 1. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus freely stood up and called out and said, look, your soul is at war with God. There is no rest. There is no peace. You will be destroyed. But what I'm offering forgiveness. I'm offering eternal life. I'm offering peace. Stop striving and know that He is God. And unfortunately, many people rejected Jesus' offer, even though it was very generous. Looking again at verse 16, long life is in her right hand. Wisdom is... tip of your tongue. Long life. Nothing? Just a mumble? JD? No. Right, you got it right. Yeah. It's prolonging. Long life is in her right hand. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. To those who trust in God. To those who trust in Jesus. Because when you trust in Jesus, you will then walk in His ways and long life. Now, it may not necessarily be long life on this earth, as we talked about with Stephen, who was killed for his faith. And there are countless other Christians who are killed because of their faith. But we know that our life lasts forever in heaven. Tree of life to those who take hold of her. I want you to flip to Revelation 21. And I know we do this every once in a while, but it's always a good reminder to see what we have in store for us. We don't know a lot about heaven, but we do know that there are streets of gold that we will dance upon and we will glorify the Lord. But we get a small glimpse in Revelation 21. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out from heaven, from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and He will dwell among them. They shall be His people, and God Himself will be among them." We have an eternal life where our focal point, our neighbor, the one that we live with, is God. God Himself dwells with us. Think of all the rich people, the celebrities, and those gated communities to keep us poor schmoes out. God's just dwelling right among everybody. Verse 4, He will wipe away every tear from their eye. There will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. I'm sold. I'll take it. No pain, no crying, no mourning. You go on and on. There's no sin. We'll dwell in perfection. I don't know about you, but I'm really tired of being a sinner. And that would be amazing to live with God and to never sin again. Our life that wisdom gives to us is going to be incredible. Go to verse 6. He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of water of life without cost. He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." The reality is that wisdom is prolonging, yes. But we need to consider that if you have not placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you too will live forever in a place of perpetual torment, agony, and pain. Wisdom is also pleasantly peaceful. Pleasantly peaceful. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. What can rob our peace and cause us to worry? Micah?
Guilt.
Guilt? Yeah. When we know we've done the wrong thing, we said the wrong thing, we've watched the wrong thing, there's something we should have done and we didn't, so we begin to worry about that. What else can rob us of our peace? Garrett? Nice and loud? Danger? All right. It's true. We're not always in the most dangerous situation, but sometimes we can be in that. Gage? Okay, war. All right, not really many of us feel the crunch of war right now, but yeah, can be. Emily? Yeah, you know, that's a real life thing. And that's a small thing, right? But we can worry about that. It can rob us of our peace. God, for those of you of us that are believers, we have peace in God. But when we let something like a test creep in and make us worry, it robs us of our peace. What else? Noah? Yeah, that's a huge thing, right? I mean, what if I happen to wear a red shirt and people keep saying that I look like I work at Target and then I start to worry about that? I still love y'all. You know, but we do that a lot. I mean, if my hair is like this, if I'm like this, if I wear glasses, is Justin going to pick on me or whatever it may be? We worry about that stuff, right? What else? What else causes us to worry, Elizabeth? Yeah, it could be a performance you have coming up or a big game that you're a part of, Nathan. Yeah, that can shake us up, right? A relative dying or a friend dying. Micah? Yeah, just thinking about what's going to happen next. You know, some of you had already mentioned, I can tell it's on your mind, where am I going to go to college? All right, I don't really care where you go to college. There's so many wonderful choices out there, and I still love you, even if you decide to go to one of those bad ones. All right? What we need to realize is when we know the right thing and we do the right thing, which is obviously trusting in the Lord, there is no cause to worry. If we just take that Proverbs 3:5, I'm just going to trust you, God. I don't understand why this is happening. I don't know. There's people your age that their parents are splitting up, or if your parents get in an argument, or something's going on with a sibling that's pretty serious, and it can shake us up pretty bad. And all those things, we just need to give them to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't know what's happening, but I trust you. And in that trust, we have peace. We have peace. If we're worrying about guilt, we go to God and we repent and we know that He forgives us and we don't worry anymore. Wisdom is pleasantly peaceful. Psalm 119, 165. Those who love your law have great peace and nothing causes them to stumble. I think it's something to be said that if you're following the Bible, that you won't get in trouble in the first place. But there, you know, we know there will be trials, but even if we do disobey, we repent and we do things how God wants, and we will have peace in that. Those who love your law have great peace. And that's really a huge thing that society is lacking, right? Society thinks that they're missing fun or they're missing satisfaction. What they're really missing is contentment. What they're really missing is peace, and they're trying to fill that hole with whatever they can think of. Proverbs 3:18, and happy are all who hold her fast. You want to be blessed in life? You want to be happy in life? Do what this book says. Do what this book says. And I know I've said that time and time again, and I even wrestle with that greatly myself. But any time, any decision, any choice that comes up, if you want to be blessed, if you want to be happy, you do what this book says. Lastly, wisdom is powerful. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding, He established the heavens. By His knowledge, the deeps were broken up and the skies drip with dew. God used His wisdom to perfectly create this world. All of the different complex systems and all of the fancy scientific things that I can't begin to explain or understand. God put all of those things together by His wisdom. And He offers us His wisdom to do His work. And just as Solomon performed what he did just as powerfully, we can do the same thing if we will trust in His wisdom. Well, when we get to the end of our study of Proverbs 3, I know we won't go on to the other verses as I mentioned. I just want to ask you, what are you doing to acquire wisdom? What are you doing to acquire wisdom? Chapter 4 says, when I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother, then he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. Acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will guard you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom, and with all your acquiring, get understanding. Prize her. She will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a garland of grace. She will present you with a crown of beauty. If you love the Lord, you love His wisdom. His wisdom is more precious to you than silver, more precious to you than gold. What are you doing to acquire wisdom. And I think, was it a Sunday? Maybe it was a Sunday. Maybe it was a Wednesday that I threw that challenge out. How has your life been since the last time we talked about this and I mentioned how, what's the only way you're going to get wisdom? By studying the Bible? Whether that be in your own personal time in the Word, or whether it's coming on Sundays and Wednesdays and hearing the Word being taught and listening receptively. How are you doing with that? Did you come here tonight with the heart and the attitude saying, I want to learn from the Bible because I want to acquire wisdom? Or is that the last thing on your list? Did you walk out of here a week ago and say, I'm going to read, I want to learn and acquire wisdom, it's so valuable to me? Or did you just fall on your face and not read at all? I think you need to take a serious look in the mirror. And if you're not consistently reading God's Word, you need to evaluate your faith in Jesus Christ. Do you really love Him? If you love Him, you'll love His Word and you'll want to obey it. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't struggle in it. It doesn't mean that we don't stumble in it. But if the consistent patterns of your life show that you don't really value God's Word, that's a red flag. It's a red flag. And I hope that maybe you'll have some time tonight in your group to talk about what you've been learning in your read-through, or maybe you've been able to do that lately. But if you love Jesus and you love wisdom and you see the value of wisdom, you have looked at the Father's argument and you've said, yes, I want wisdom. What are you actually doing to get wisdom? Let's pray. Lord God, we do thank You for Your love, for Your care. You've given us everything that we need regarding life and godliness right here in Your book. And it's our job, Lord, to read it, to memorize it, to study it, to meditate upon it, so that Your Word may dwell richly within us. And then we will act upon it, Lord God. Please, Father, forgive us when we struggle to read. Forgive us when we do read, but we don't pay attention to the words and what You're trying to teach us. If there's anyone here today that realizes, Lord, that they don't love Your Word and they don't love Your wisdom, they value other things instead, please convict them and draw them to Yourself. For the rest of us, Lord, give us the passion to know Your wisdom and to live it out. It's in Your Son's name we pray. Amen.